Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Today is a major, significant day in world history. On November 11th of 1918, World War I ended with the signing of the Armistice of the Allies. In the first Armistice Day, that proclamation in 1919, President Woodrow Wilson called for the nation to remember those who had died in their country's service and to make the day an opportunity for America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nation. In 1927, Congress called for the display of the U.S. flag on government buildings. And in 1938, Congress called for the observance of Armistice Day in churches and in schools, again dedicating the day to the cause of world peace. It wasn't until 1954 that it became known as Veterans Day. But today marks the 100-year anniversary, not of a day of war and strife and division, but as a day of peace. We want to honor those who have worked and given the ultimate sacrifice to help maintain peace in our world, and we still need that peace. Amen?
If you are a veteran, if you've served in any branch of the military, we would like to honor you and ask you to stand at this time. Now we'd like to ask all of you, in honor of those that have served, if you have someone in your family, a dear friend, a husband, a spouse, a child that has served in one of the military branches, we're also asking you to stand.
Let us all stand in honor of this great country and sing together this hymn.
In the beauty of the
Glory, glory, glory. The scripture lesson is book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our I am statement that Jesus makes today tells us something broader than just about himself. His I am statement today tells us something about his Father. What he says today tells us something about ourselves, and it tells us about himself. Remember, he says, I am the true vine. He says, my Father is the gardener, that you and I are the branches. And then he goes on to say that we bear fruit when we are connected to the vine. When I was a little girl, I remember hearing this story about the vine and the branches. And I remember this one part in the scripture that said, the branches that aren't useful, that haven't been connected to the vine, are thrown away, they're chopped off, they're cut off, and thrown into a fire. And I got to tell you, I was a little scared. In fact, I remember thinking, just go ahead and burn me up, because I'm never going to get it all right. I'm going to always have branches that shouldn't be growing in some certain direction. Praise be to God, that is not what this passage is about. God did not save you and rescue you in your life story just to dice you up and to throw away parts of you that make you you. So this morning, I just want to be simply reminded by the scripture story that God is our gardener. And when God is described as a gardener, he's a good gardener. If you look sometime today, if you have time to look at Isaiah 5, there's this beautiful passage about who God is as your gardener. Here's what some of Isaiah 5 says. The gardener wakes up in the morning with the vineyard on his mind. It means as soon as he wakes up, the first thing that God thinks about is your heart, is you. Then it says that he spends all of his waking hours tending to the branches. In fact, he calls his garden in this passage his beloved. And it says that he sings songs to his garden. It's this whole beautiful theme of hope. So maybe if we understand in our heart of hearts who our gardener really is and how much he values you and how much he loves you, this idea of getting our branches torn off, cut off, isn't quite as scary. God is our gardener. And then Jesus says, I am your true vine. I'm glad that Jesus says this idea of true vine, because if you're like me, sometimes I try to connect to something and hope that it'll bring me life and bring me joy and bring me peace. But if it's not the true vine, which is in Jesus, I'll probably leave empty real quickly afterwards. Sometimes we attach ourselves to things in life that don't always bring us hope, even good things. I can share from my spiritual journey that a lot of my life as a young person in the faith was trying to kind of use my own willpower to do what's right. And I would try to do good and I'd be a good girl and I would follow the rules and try to be obedient. And when I wasn't obedient and when I didn't follow the rules, I just didn't want to get caught. I didn't realize that when we sort of make a checklist in our minds of what's good and what's bad and how much good have I done today, that really what we're doing is living in our ego, living in our flesh, and not living in the spirit, which means to live in the vine. I like the skit that the teenagers did of Jesus being the center and they're all connected on the vine and it goes out. But then sometimes do you have that feeling in your spiritual journey where you kind of leave and go, I've got my own path. I've got this part. I don't need you right now. And as soon as we do that, we begin to feel the life of Jesus kind of wilt out of our spirits. When I was a little girl, there's six of us kids in my family, and we would play this game called Tiger. I think we made this up, but maybe you played this too. And we had these pine trees in our front yard, and the way it would play is one sibling would be the tiger, and the others of us would try to run and catch onto a tree, and if you were on a tree, then you were safe. Or the tiger, if they tag you, you're out. And the trick to this game was that you could use people connected together, arms and arms, to reach you. If you were getting ready to try to tag the tree, they could reach you and pull you to the tree. I think sometimes our spiritual journey is lived out like that, where we think of Jesus as the true vine as something we sort of tag when we need him. I came to church this morning because I need a dose of Jesus. I just need a little spell with him, just 15 minutes. But Jesus isn't talking about that kind of vine and branch. He uses the word in this passage seven times, the word abide. Seven times he says, oh no, I don't want you just to tag me when you need me. I want you to connect, to live in me, to delight in me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to do life with me. It doesn't mean that you have to strive harder, that you have to have better behavior. Being part of the vine doesn't mean that you have to do more or do less of the wrong things, attend more church meetings. No, abide is to be and live with Jesus. Most of you know, and if you don't know, you'll know now, I'm a terrible cook. In fact, I see Ian back there. I asked him last night, he was over at supper time. I said, Ian, you want to eat with us? And he said, no, ma'am. And I said, but I really did cook like good food. He goes, my mom made homemade potato soup, which she always cooks better than me. And so I said, I hope it burns your tongue. You know, one of the things I've learned about cooking is not that I've learned to be any better at it, but I know how to fix the burn-up pot, which happens to me like once or twice a week. Do not take the burn-up pot and immediately start scraping it. It just doesn't work. It takes forever. I can't even get the beans all off the bottom. But what I'm learning is if I soak it overnight and let it just sit there and soak in the water, in the morning when I go in the kitchen, it just swipes right up. I think that's what Jesus means about abide. That it's not about trying to clean yourself up and polish yourself up and try harder to be part of the vine, but it's actually to live with him and abide with him and to be with him. You know, it's interesting to me that when we talk about this vine, that Jesus says, remember your place. I'm the vine, he says. You are the branches. So here's a question. I'm going to ask you to answer it out loud. We do well as branches when we are connected to the vine. Right. So you know your role. When we're not connected to the true vine, when we're not abiding and living in Jesus, this is what it says our branches will look like. When we're not connected to the vine, it says he will cut off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You know, not being connected to the vine, if we're just the branch, it's like having a hand, but the fingers aren't attached. The fingers can't do their job without first being connected to the hand. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, there's all kinds of branches in our faith journey that probably need to be removed so that we can have greater potential in God. And the things I thought about of branches in my life, and I wonder if you feel this way too, probably the things that need to be removed for me are things like self-reliance, self-preservation, my self-focus, which is constant. I'm self-absorbed. Instead of being afraid of God removing my branches, maybe I could welcome him to remove those parts of me that are not serving me well. I have a little sister, her name is Lori, and when we were in high school, she was preparing to go on Outward Bound. Outward Bound is an outdoors program where you go live in the woods for a few weeks with a guide. And the way they train you to get ready to go live in the woods for a month is they give you a pack, and you're supposed to load up with whatever you think you might need to survive in the woods. And then they ask you for 3 months before you leave to carry it around on your back and go for a 1 hour hike every day or every other day. So sometimes I would walk alongside her and she'd have her pack, and it was a struggle. And one of the things we learned, besides the fact that Outward Bound was teaching her to be strong, it was teaching her to let go of some of that stuff in her bag. In fact, by the end of our journey of practicing for her time in the woods, she had very little left in her pack. In fact, she would say, "I'm just taking what I need to be happy in the woods, just the bare minimum." You know, I wonder if Jesus isn't telling us that about his Father God, the gardener. That maybe we think we need to carry all this stuff, and maybe we don't need all that. And so God gets busy and begins to remove from our life what is not serving us well. You know, when Jesus would get frustrated with people in the Bible, what I think is so fascinating is he never once got frustrated with a sinner, with someone that was doing wrong or someone that was making poor choices or someone heading down the wrong road. In fact, well, he usually would speak to them and he'd breathe in life to them. You know who he would get frustrated with? The religious people. The people that were carrying way too much in their packs. Those churchgoers, the Pharisees, the law keepers. Look what the Gospel of John says. Jesus one day was having dinner, and all these sinners gathered around him. But the religious Pharisees, the teachers of the law, muttered. And they said, "This man welcomes sinners." You know, maybe some of the branches and some of the dead parts of our faith journey are not about performance, but that it's actually about being more deeply in the presence of Jesus. And a sinner knows that much better than a religious person. Finally, there's the fruit. We have God as the gardener and Jesus as the vine, and you and me, we're the branches. And then there's this idea of fruit. And the way that it's written is this: the gifts of fruit God bears in you. The fruit are given by God that he produces in you while we are abiding. See, fruit will naturally grow when it's connected to the branch and the vine. We don't have to worry about our performance and our level of how many good deeds we did today. If I'm abiding and living in the vine, God will grow my fruit. How many of you in here know somebody that's close to you that has an adoption story? Anybody in here besides me know someone that's been adopted? I have a girlfriend who adopted a baby boy. And this baby boy is almost grown up now. He's a teenager. And he is healthy. And he's vivacious, and he's secure, and he's so smart, and he's creative, and he loves his family, and he loves his God. But when this little boy was adopted from Florida, he was born to a 17-year-old girl with a family history of alcohol and abuse. He was on a dead-end road as a baby. He would have been what we would probably call a lost boy, but he's not. Do you know why he's doing so well? Do you know why he's thriving and growing? It's because he recognizes who he belongs to. Being in the presence of love, he grows. Being connected to his family vine, he bears fruit, not forcefully, not because he's determined to do so, but organically, naturally, flowing, real, because he's connected to love. Here is the good news for you to take home with you today. God is your gardener, and you belong to him, and he loves you. Jesus is the vine. It's who you need to be connected to this morning. And you are the branch who is greatly dependent on the vine, who is greatly dependent on the gardener. And the fruit in your life, the gifts that you offer others, is the labor of love from a sweet and tender, loving gardener. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that we can call you our gardener, that you sent your son Jesus to be our vine, to be our source, to be our connector. We thank you that although we're just branches, you give us what we need for life and for godliness. And we thank you, God, for the ways you are bearing fruit in our life story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.